This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is sponsored by our new advertiser, Generate Life Sciences, and we are looking forward to working with them over the next few weeks. It's very exciting to have them on board, helping to make our show a possibility. Thank you, Generate Life Sciences.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show you.
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just
because
we stay.
Hello.
Welcome, guys. Thanks for joining us again. Here we are.
We only have two more episodes after this one, and then we're on a three-week break for the holidays,
Jamie. That doesn't mean we're leaving you high and dry, guys, because there is a whole backload of episodes you can listen to, over 100 to be precise, and you can always catch up. Take this time to catch up or read our book or listen to our audiobook. I mean, there's so many things.
Yeah, and we're going to still be doing dumb things on social, so
always.
We're going to be everywhere.
We are everywhere.
Speaking of social, Jamie, we got an email from a listener.
We did.
Should we share it?
Let's share it, because she's
a little voice memo.
She brings up a very good and valid point.
Okay, here we go.
Helen!
Hello, Robin and Jamie and Helen. I've been listening to your podcast since the beginning, and I really enjoy it. I really appreciate hearing all of the different stories and perspectives, and I wanted to call and share my own perspective, which is that it can be easy. I just listened to the episode with the queer spawn, who's now a queer mom, and it's so great. I could have listened to her forever. And Jamie at the end of that said, right, it's never easy. And that's a theme. And in our case, it was easy. And there were no doctors or lawyers involved. We used a known donor. We inseminated at home. My wife and I are listed on our son's birth certificate as the parents. I was pregnant. I gave birth. We're the parents on the passport. Our donor, after our son was born, completed a surrender form in which he identified himself as the biological father / sperm donor, and he surrendered the child to me and my wife. That form was notarized. So I feel Robin's uncomfortable, no lawyers, but the point is it can be easy and there's no extra money involved. And, you know, we were lucky that we got pregnant easily. So there you have it. So thanks again. Keep up the great work.
That was good, right?
First of all, I love that she said hi to Helen.
I know. When she sent the email, she said, Helen, please give this to Jamie and Robin. And I was like running around the apartment trying to show Mary, my wife. I was like, Mary, look at this. I thought that was so funny.
So funny. Helen, and every time she gets a hi, is like, ah, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, just something else I got to do.
Now I got to say hi back.
Oh, now I got to type an email. Ugh. You like the podcast? Great.
Well, but I love that voice memo from that listener, just because it is really nice. I mean, oftentimes it is hard, but it is a nice reminder that it doesn't always have to be hard and it doesn't always have to be expensive. And yeah. There are many success stories out there just like hers.
True. It's very true. It doesn't have
sad
to be
hard. I called it a success story. That's sad. But I think just what it is like we're prone to thinking that because we have so many people that are telling us hard stories.
Right. But we have interviewed people who tell us how simple it was, too. I mean, it's not as many, I guess. But I guess if you're going to come on a podcast to tell your story, you're going to have some kind of a, you know. But even like her story, I'd interview her, too. You know,
yeah,
like
it's just always
all of these stories are valid and important to share. And thank you so much for sharing yours, because I bet you there's hundreds of other lesbian couples out there, gay couples, LGBTQ couples out there who have a similar experience. So
correctamundo.
Correctamundo. Thank you.
Let's thank our we got two new Patreon members.
Two new Patreon members. We still are never going to say it the same.
Patreon.
Okay,
Patreon.
Well, all right. These ones, uh-oh.
No, we could do it.
I just am afraid. Okay, so Kim Bay.
That's what I would say, Kim Bay.
Yeah, but I also, it could be Bai.
It's not Bai.
But I think that's Bai. Like, can you imagine? That would be amazing.
I'm sure some of her friends say that to her, like, Kim Bai.
And if your friends don't, Kim, they should.
They should start right now.
My new favorite way to say your name, Kim Bai. Yes. But we don't want to say Bai to you, Kim, because we love you because you're a Patreon member.
Hello, Kim.
Hello, Kim. Moving on. And
Laura Mayerly.
Mayerly. I don't think you can mess that up.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it's Mayerly. But thank you, Laura. Thank you, Kim. We're just so thankful to you guys you are literally helping us pay for this podcast. And so
literally. Thank you so much. If you want to join our Patreon community, help us make this show and for bonus content, you're going to get video interviews of most of our episodes, and we drop them a day early, by the by.
Without ads.
You're going to head to patreon.com/ovariestalk, become a member, and you're going to get some bonus content.
Yes.
It's worth it.
Okay, let's talk about our interview. I know I just got so like, I don't know what, 2000 something. Yes, queen.
Okay.
I know. I've never pulled that off. I shouldn't try now.
You don't
even
really
as like
pull
an old lady.
A lot of the vernacular, I think.
I do not. The only thing, I still am using Fashizzle, and it's 20 years later.
Fashizzle's fun. I like that one.
It was fun 20 years ago when it came out.
Well, whatevs.
Oh God, we're so old.
I know.
All right, let's bump this up to the top of our inbox, Jamie.
Okay.
Our guest is Melanie Vesey. Mm-hmm. She is a stand-up comic, a marketing and publicist powerhouse. She's a survivor, mm-hmm. and she is funny as fuck, as the kids say.
They
just say AF.
I know. You don't pull off the vernacular, but you love to include it. That's all I'll say.
I can pull it off in writing, but not saying it out loud.
Well, as long as you put "as the kids say" after it, I feel like it's okay. Well,
that's what I do, because then I don't look. And then it's like I'm in on the joke.
I guess so.
Yes, Helen, okay. We are going to interview.
Helen, just chill out, as the kids say.
Just roll it,
roll
Helen.
With it. No, roll with it, Helen. Roll with it.
Roll somewhere, Helen. Roll right out of my apartment.
Melanie, come on in.
No, she's not coming in. Everyone knows we already recorded this, Jamie.
Roll the tape, Helen. Helen, wake up. Hello.
Hi, Melanie.
Hi.
It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We have to tell our listeners that we have been going on about your fabulous hair for somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 minutes before we hit record.
It's really cool. It makes me think I need to cut my hair again. It's really awesome.
But it's like a, it's kind of like a hot pink, but it's like a subtle tone.
It's called Sunset Orange, and it's available on Arctic Fox. Oh. I do it myself, so don't, this is some kitchen hair.
Good Amazing. For you. No, it looks really good.
I do have it cut by my barber, and I have a show this weekend, so I have like show hair right now, but
the Melanie, I just realized the cuts in the side, it looks like a sunset. It's sun.
Do you see how wildly on brand I am, even
you
with my own?
You're so on brand with that Arctic sunset or whatever it is. We're just slightly jealous of you, is all,
it's
and inspired.
Fine. It's all good. It's all good.
Well, we are going to start where we always start with you, which is the elevator pitch. You think you're ready?
I think I'm ready.
Okay. Even if you're not, it's happening.
It is happening.
Okay, great. All right.
On your mark. Get set.
Oh my God, go. No pressure. Okay, so I love that she's like holding up the phone and I'm just eating time here. Okay, I'm Melanie Hesse. I am a stand-up comedian. I'm an actress. I'm a businesswoman. I own my own company called Promotional Rescue. I am on this show because I also wrote, directed, and produced a fully functioning human. And that's why we're going to be talking about today how I got there, because it's a pretty fucking good story. I perform regularly all around. Well, now I perform on your computer. You can get all that information at melanievesey.com. My company, I teach people how to promote themselves without feeling gross. I have some amazing clients. I've worked with Maria Bamford and Grammy nominated rock stars, you know, ranging down to people who don't even have an Instagram. And you can get that at promotionalrescue.com. I perform weekly. Anyway, and in quarantine, I am happily married with a beautiful, wonderful, amazing wife who is a chef. That doesn't suck, huh? And I have an amazing teenager. He's 15. He'll be 16 in December, and he's learning to drive, and he is wonderful. He's an amazing human. We're having a great time. I know quarantine has been a challenge for a lot of people, but I'm actually kind of enjoying this time with my life. So how did I do? Did I go over?
Damn. All right. So you get the award for our longest elevator pitch coming in.
Amazing.
1 minute and 27 seconds.
Oh, my
but
God.
You packed so much in there that
and
I'm not
I
mad at you
think
for that.
You don't need us for this interview. I actually think you could lead the entire thing. That's what I think.
Okay. I could. I'm a Virgo. I am, and hypervigilance is a part of my trauma. So I totally
oh my
could
God,
do this.
This is amazing. And I actually think we need to hire you because we need your help. You just promoted yourself.
I'm available.
I mean, you are
available.
Walking the walk, lady. You just did some promotion right there. Boom, done. It's all in there. I love it.
There we go.
Oh, Robin, tell everybody about that new promo code.
Yes, California Cryobank. It's actually the sperm bank that we both used, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And they were so professional and they took such great care of us. I highly recommend them because
so do I.
They've been helping the gay folks and the single women have kids for over 40 years. And they give us a top secret code for our listeners to use on cryobank.com.
This is a really good code. This is a really good deal. So if any of you are thinking of using a sperm donor to start your family, you need to write this down.
Or type it into your phone. You know, just like remember it. Are you ready?
Yes.
The code is OCT.
OCT.
OCT for, you know, for ovaries could talk.
I think they can manage to keep that in their brains because they're used to that code.
Yeah.
So, okay, wait. Tell them what they get. What do we get?
Okay. Here's what you get, Jamie. The promo code gives you free level 2 donor information subscription access for 90 days on their site.
Ooh, that is so, so good. But wait, what does it mean?
Even know. I've been telling you. Okay. It's $145 value, and it gives you access to extended donor profiles. It lets you see childhood photos and adult photos for some of the donors, and it gives you access to their medical histories. You can read personal essays they've written, and they have something called Express Yourself.
Express Yourself.
Okay. Stop it, Jamie. No, that's nice. That's nice, actually.
And okay, tell them what Express Yourself is.
All right. It's California Cryobank gives donors basically a blank canvas to express themselves. So there you're going to find original poetry, songs, essays, photographs, drawings, recipes, and anything else a donor can imagine to express his inner self.
I mean, I know from personal experience that all of that stuff really helps narrow down the options you have to find a great fit. That's how we found ours. Mm-hmm. And outside of all of these subscription benefits on cryobank.com, listen, guys, California Cryobank is simply, it is one of the best donor resources anywhere.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And as one of the largest sperm banks, they have like, what is it, like over 400 donors?
Yep. And they have just such this highly selective screening process for donors. They do medical testing, psych screening, background checks. The donors have diverse backgrounds to choose from that you can search for easily on the site, too. I mean, I feel like if you were looking for a trilingual sailor or an engineer that plays the sax, you'd be able to find them at California Cryobank.
Okay, and which one of those did you search for, Robin?
Okay, my lips are sealed, Jamie.
Yeah, I feel like it wasn't.
And if any of you out there are looking for donor sperm, just go to cryobank.com, open a free account, and use the code OCT to activate your free subscription today. That's cryobank.com, CRYOBANK.com. Ooh, I made it into a song.
We got to take it way back to the beginning.
Okay.
To... I don't know.
How'd you make that kid?
He's 16.
Let's start there.
Oh my God. He's wonderful. So the story is so up and down and back and forth. And so I guess that's how you make a kid, right? Up and down and back and forth.
There you go. Well, some of us.
I wish I had like a boom boom. I'm gonna bring out the wait for this. I'm gonna bring out the
I hate everything right now. Okay, so
unfortunately for some of us lesbians, there was no up and down or back and forth in the making of our babies.
A speculum, an emotional up and down, back and forth. I don't know. Did you do up it on the first try? I don't know.
That's good. You're right.
Up and down the subway steps on the way to the clinic.
Up and down the elevator to the doctor's office.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Michigan, in a suburb of Michigan in the 70s and 80s. I am a product of like some really good baby boomer upbringing. I didn't see gay people on TV. We didn't have gay friends. I didn't know you could be gay. I was the last one to find out I was even gay or bi or whatever it is I identify as these days. I don't even know anymore. And it took me a very long time to come out. I did not know that when I would have sex with men and I would fake an orgasm and they would get up to go make a sandwich or take a shower and I would masturbate and think about women, that was maybe a little gay. I had no idea. Like, I think about that and I was like, you were so far out of your body and mind. Yeah. You were so not connected with yourself. And I just didn't know. Mm-hmm. And then the universe or higher power or God or whatever then put a New York City police officer in front of me that was very androgynous, butch, and I lost my mind. And I was like, I'm gay. I think I'm gay. I mean, it was literally like that moment was just like, I'm done. I've got to break up with my boyfriend. That's what I want.
Because the crush was that powerful.
Oh my God. It was a struck by lightning. You know, the bottom fell out, the heart palpitations, you know, the whole thing. And I now recognize that feeling as danger. But for years, I thought that was love at first sight. Do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, so when I hear sometimes that people are like, oh, it was love at first sight. And then I hear that the relationship went south and I'm like, you might be wired backwards where you feel love as hate and you feel hate as love. Uh-huh. And for me, those feelings that came up and now, you know, like I said, I'm happily married. And every once in a while, I have had those feelings where I meet someone that I'm like, ooh, you know what I mean? Like, hello.
Yeah.
And now because I don't engage on those feelings anymore, I recognize as I get to watch and witness that person is unhealthy and unstable. But that's what gets me off. Right. So stranger danger between these two ears. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when I met her, I was like, I'm very much into this. And so we started dating. And like I said, she was a New York City police officer. And I'm a sober individual. I'm sober 26 years.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Thank you very much. And she was getting sober at the time, too. And then she decided to become an undercover narcotics officer.
Uh-oh.
Which is very scary. And the stuff that was happening was very scary. It was also in my mind that they were putting her in harm's way. She was clearly a very butch lesbian. And this was very scary for me. I mean, she was buying and selling drugs all day long. And this was when Rudy Giuliani was mayor. I mean, she was buying and selling drugs essentially for Rudy Giuliani every day. Yeah. Like, I mean, it was crazy. And I'm like, I got sober because I dated a drug dealer back then. Like, I don't want to be in this life anymore. Wow. You know, so.
How old are you? You're in your 20s?
I'm like 25, 26 mm-hmm. at this time. Mm-hmm. And so I broke it off with her because for the first time in my life, I put myself first. But then a year later, I got a random phone call from her. And she was like, I'm leaving the bar and I'm by your house and I want to come by. And I was like, sure. Right. Because we weren't mad at each other. But I was just totally like, OK. And I had this weird moving violation ticket for riding my bike on the sidewalk. And I was totally like, maybe she could help me with this ticket. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So yeah. I had this like reason to meet her. But during that meeting, she shot me. And with her police issue 38. And as you can imagine, it was hands down the worst thing that could happen. I mean, very, very, very scary, very, you know, life threatening. I mean, the trauma around that has been recovering from that trauma has been probably one of the hardest things. Oh, my God, I could cry. I've ever done. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was really, really, really hard. And Sheesh. From that moment on, I then, you know, was in a few more relationships with other women. And the women that I was choosing were so, okay, first off, beautiful, stunning. I mean, just.
That part was good.
Models, you know, wow. Rock stars, like just amazing. Like I was cute. It was the 90s. It was happening. I mean, it was, I feel blessed. I have whatever thing up there was just totally like, we're going to throw you a couple bones. You know what I mean?
And, like you got shot. Here's a hot girl.
Right. Yeah. So, but they were so unstable. I mean, the heroin addiction, the jealousy, the trauma, whatever it was so painful that I questioned then my sexuality after that. Mm. I was like, maybe I'm not gay because clearly I'm doing this so wrong. Like these women are literally trying to kill me. Like literally, this isn't like a figurative like thing. This is like, this is so crazy.
Do you think it was maybe your trauma was attracted to trauma?
150 billion percent. Yeah. Even though I was on the path of like self-discovery and recovery, I feel like whatever has been going on inside of me is so deep, so far, so wide that even in those first couple years, because I was 5 years sober when I got shot. It's not like I was using at the time. And so if that can happen to me without drugs and alcohol, imagine what could have happened to me with drugs and alcohol, like in my life. Mm. And so I questioned my sexuality at that point and I opened it back up to men. And
I love your phrasing. I opened it back up to men. Well, Melanie is open for men now.
Yeah, I just, well, because for me, it was, in my mind, I felt like it would have been easier to be with men because I fall in love with women. And not like I didn't love the man that I was with. It's just how hard. I mean, I would literally like, I mean, I don't know if you guys have, I mean, I would be with people where it's like, if we would fight, like I would get so sick that I would vomit. Mm. Like, do you know what I mean? Like
I think like you get emotionally invested with women so much easier. You don't get emotionally invested with men. There's more of a...
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just felt like, I can't even really describe it. It's just that like, it was so deep and so intense with women that I was like, maybe I could just put a damper on this and then go back to dudes and it'll be easy. You know what I mean? And then it was 1,000 times harder because I was trying to fix what was wrong with me on the inside with stuff on the outside. Yeah. And I met and fell in love with a cool guy who was a fashion designer. And I was like, I haven't been on birth control in 10 years and I want to have a baby. I was like, you know, 33 some odd years old, whatever. And I was like, and I want to have a baby. And he goes, me too. And so within a few months, I was pregnant. Like it was just totally like, boom, there you are.
And you weren't like, I need to be with you forever. You were just like, I want to have a baby. Then we'll see what happens. Or you are going to stay with him.
No. I was totally like in love with him. I was like, I could have a family with this person. Yeah. Right. So, and I was really, I've always wanted to be like in a family, even though I look like a wild animal. I'm really kind of like, it's so funny, like with my other like, you know, children's parents. Like, I'm the most conservative out of all of them. I'm just totally like, everyone is like, and I'm like, listen, you gotta, you know, and everyone's like, whatever, you know what I mean? And I'm the one with the hair and the tattoos and the wife with a head tattoo. And like, I'm just like, listen, you guys, who knows what it's all about. But then it got so much worse. So he was a fashion designer, and he went on Project Runway and won. He won season 3 of Project Runway.
Can we say
Runway.
Who it is?
Yeah, it's Jeffrey Sebelia. The guy with the big neck tattoo.
Yeah. So he's super cool too. You guys are just like cool.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of cool to go around. It was a lot of cool to go around. And so we were, you know, Harrison and I were on the finale of Project Runway. We were there. You know, Tim Gunn came to our house, and, you know, we were on the runway at New York Fashion Week, and with Harrison, he was super little, like 2 years old. However, I have to say that when someone is not famous in April and they are then famous by September. Fame.
Yeah.
Whatever in your life is this big, fame makes it this big, right? I mean, like, it just accentuates all the things that are going on with you. It puts them under a huge magnifying glass. And I don't know, and this is just my opinion, I can't speak for him, but that I don't know if he was ready for any of that. And I wasn't ready for any of it either. And then we broke up 10 days after he won Project Runway.
Oh
my goodness.
And I jokingly call it Project Runaway because that's what it really fucking was.
Oh my God. I have so much to talk to my BetterHelp therapist about this week. So much.
Oh my God. Like schools closing again and going back into lockdown and friends getting COVID. I mean, it's not a big deal.
Not a big deal at all. Such a big deal. Seriously. I think everyone is going through it right now.
We are, aren't we? That's why BetterHelp is my favorite thing right now.
Yeah.
BetterHelp, guys, it will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours. How amazing is
that? It's really great, and it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online, and there's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be available locally in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. It's really great.
Oh, and you can log into your account anytime, and you get to just basically send messages to your counselor. So you'll get timely, thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. So you're not ever going to have to sit in that annoying, uncomfortable waiting room like in traditional therapy. I just messaged my therapist that we had to change times, and it was so quick and easy.
Yeah, it's really great. Listen, guys, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. Listen to this. So they make it easy and free to change your counselor if you need, which is great.
Oh, and it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and we're all broke right now. Mm-hmm. And financial aid is available, which is great.
It's for all of us. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Just visit their website and you can read their testimonials that are posted daily. Everybody loves BetterHelp.
Yes. Visit BetterHelp.com/OCT. That's Better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
Because these are some trying times. We've got a special offer for our If These Ovaries Could Talk listeners. You're going to get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/OCT. Go
you
get
guys
some help.
Do it. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs help.
We need
right
help
now.
Right now, Jamie.
BetterHelp.com/OCT, guys. Help yourselves.
I then was like, you know what? Like, if I'm going to be intimate with people that have whatever issues going on, I should be having the sex I want to have. So I went back to women. And I was with a few more women after that. They progressively got better and better after that. Nicer and nicer, but some of them commitment issues, some of them not ready to be parents. And then I met my wife, who is wonderful. And now we've been together 9 years and married 6, domestic partners 7. And we're very happily married. And now she wants to have a baby. So am I getting back on this train? I don't know. I'm almost 50.
That's a very serious plot twist.
Before we go to that train stop, I have one question. When you were with the husband or the, you guys were never married. Were you married?
No, we were never married. Baby daddy. Yeah.
When you were with baby daddy, did your sexuality come out in any way? Like, was there any repressed feelings during that whole time? Or was everything hunky-dory? It would have been fine if Project Runway had never happened.
God, that is like the $1 million question. Mm. I mean, I really wonder, I don't know. I mean, a part of me, like, this literally just popped into my head. Like, had I been satisfied, like, on all levels, I might have probably been able to be, although I'm backtracking now. I am the dude in my current relationship, even though I'm very femme, you know, I'm rings, I'm makeup, I'm outfits, I'm the whole thing. I take the role kind of as the man. Like, mm-hmm. I am the breadwinner. I'm a stand-up comedian. So I'm usually with men all night long doing comedy and then sneaking in the middle of the night. Like, I just feel like I'm very dominant. And my wife is also very, even though she's the butch one, she's very kind of quiet and just wants to be, she literally, all she wants to be is like pregnant and barefoot and in the kitchen. Like, isn't that's literally like, but just with a shaved head and head tattoos. What I mean?
You so, can't judge a butch book by its
butch
cover.
By the you
cover.
Can't there. Judge a butch by their cover. You can't.
How do you identify right now? Do you put a label on it?
It's so funny. I mean, I guess I would say queer, but I guess I would also say, and I feel like for many, many years, I didn't identify as bi because I feel like people that were bi were very villainized for a long time. They were always the bad guy. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, clearly you just want to be with everybody and clearly and da 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 da. And I just feel like my journey was more than just men and women. My journey was about healing and about recovering from these things. And for whatever reason, I needed these people in these specific gender spacesuits to come to me. And I'm glad that I had the ability to be with different kinds of people in different genders. So I think it's queer. I think queer is probably it, like all over the place. Although here's the thing, I am very turned on by gender reversal. I like women that look like men. My baby daddy was a fashion designer, which is, you know, traditionally something that's a little bit more
feminine,
I don't know,
if you will.
Yeah, I don't know, whatever. And he had a very feminine side to him. And I love, you know, men that are dressed like women and women that are dressed like men. Like, I love the cross of it all. Like, that really gets me
excited.
It's
definitely something like you're drawn to something that's just left of center in people, whether it's something like earlier days, darkness, but then like later, just differences or interesting. I don't know, like something, like there's something in that.
Yeah, I think that mostly what I want is I want the most rare of everything. Like, I want to make it hard on myself. And so, like, I remember, you know, like after I, you know, was with my baby daddy and I was with a few other women, I was even engaged to a woman. And unfortunately, you know, she had some real mental health issues and we had to end our engagement. And I was crying, you know, boohooing, you know, to my friend. And she was like, Melanie, you don't need a million. You just need one. Like, you just need one person. But finding that one person, and for me, it felt like I was almost 40. It felt like it would be impossible to find that person. They have to be age appropriate. They have to have some sort of investigated self. They had to have some sort of recovery in them. I can't just be with a normie that doesn't understand what I fucking go through. Like, they have to be cool with like a kid, and they have to be kind of a switchy bottom. Like, there's all these things that kind of had to go on. You know what I mean? That I'm just totally, how is that going to happen? You know, like, it just felt impossible. And then my wife appeared and she literally checks all those boxes. And I couldn't be more kind of like, it is truly the sweetness that has come out of this very challenging life that I was doled up, you know what I mean, for many, many years.
Wow. That was so much just happened.
I know. Everyone's like, you should write a book. Yeah. You should make a movie. And I'm like, girl, yes, fine, sure. If there's a producer out there, I have a story for you.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get into like about your you said your son, he's 15. And like, how was that? You break up with your partner, your baby daddy. And then like, how was that? And you went back to women. Like, was that like, how did that all work?
Harrison was 2 when all of that happened. And I was also very careful not to bring anybody by the house that wasn't going to be a permanent type fixture. And I really feel like kids don't have like, that's my opinion, don't have like a natural like, oh, well, girls can't be with girls and boys can't be like, it was no thing to him that I was just totally like, oh, this is mommy's friend. And then mommy's friend would hang out for a while. And then she was there more. And then it was like, I'm in a relationship with this person. And I was also very lucky to send him to schools that were progressive. So it's not like the schools were weird about it. I feel very lucky to live in a bubble. I really do. I'm actually grateful to live in a bubble that I would have to say that my journey of going in and out of the closet wasn't met with any anything adverse. Like, I didn't have parents that were mad at me. I didn't have friends that were mad at me. I didn't have work situations that we, like, everything has always been cool. If anything, all of my drama has been between my ears. You know what I mean?
Because you lived in an accepting bubble.
Yes.
And you know what's sad about this is I didn't realize I lived in a, I mean, I knew I lived in a bubble, but I didn't realize how small that bubble was until this whole craziness that is, you know who, happened.
And our president? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, is that the craziest?
I didn't want to say his name.
I know.
I don't want to give him airspace. But yeah. I had no idea.
Well, it's so funny because I have family that unfortunately supports Trump, which is, of course, not my views. But I remember talking to them early. This was probably 2016. And I was very worried about Trump becoming president. And I literally had a family member be like, but it won't affect you. Like, you live in California. Like, who the fuck cares?
Yep.
And I was like, but I am seriously worried about my brothers and sisters that live in Wyoming. I mean, who have my exact situation. That there's a child involved, that there's a baby daddy and maybe a new marriage. And like, does that new partner get to be a parent? Or like, what if I go into the hospital or die? What happens to those people out there? And I'm like, and it's that saying, like, I can't explain to you that you need to care about other people. Like, I can't believe I have to say that to be like, you, I care about those people for whatever reason. And I'm just like, get out of your podunk town, like come to New York or LA or fucking, because I'm originally from Michigan. And through this process, I have watched, you know, the people, you know, the militia try and kidnap the governor, storm the governor with guns. And I'm like, and my wife, because I can pass. People don't know that I'm gay unless I tell them. I mean, even though I have one fucking bitchy, dykey haircut.
Well, you just present as funky. Totally like, you're like, come off as like funky.
You're punk.
Yeah.
You're cool.
Yeah, they're just like, well, she's interesting. You know what I mean? Like,
probably an artist.
Yeah, they wouldn't necessarily put like a gay or queer stamp on me. However, my wife has a big old gay face and a gay haircut and a gay flannel shirt on. Like, she can't pass. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when we go home to Michigan, she does not feel comfortable there. And that's really hard for me to watch and have to check in with her. Like, how are you doing? What's going on? Like, cause it's just the looks. And then we don't hold hands. We don't kiss. We don't, you know what I mean? Like, and then our lives. So I really do worry about those people that are in other places that don't have what I have.
Well, and think about what could have happened to you. Like, let's just say your ex wasn't understanding and you lived in a small town. He could have taken your kid from you. I mean, that's like for the people who say that it doesn't matter. That's not happening to you. You live in your bubble. But like, like, what if you move?
It worries me to my core. And I am doing everything I can to try and protect those people by voting or whatever. And I also believe in visibility, which is why I am on the internet, why I talk openly about being queer, why I talk about in my comedy special being married and the challenges and going in and out of the closet. And like, I believe that if somebody can see me and see that it's possible for someone who looks, acts, and experiences someone who is just like me, that that means that it can happen for them. I didn't know I could be what I am until I saw it little by little by little by little. So I feel like visibility is very, very, very important to show
so
people.
Important. Yep. Agreed.
Yep.
Agreed. 100%. We got to show all aspects of ourselves out there so the rest of the world can see it.
And unfortunately for the, like the podunk towns, like you're saying, like it needs to be normalized. They need to see that we're just like raising our kids and we're, you know, like we're trying to homeschool just like you are. It's like, we're all doing the best we can.
Maybe we don't call them podunk towns. Maybe we just call them, you know,
small towns. But I'm from a podunk town. So it's like,
we love you, podunk towns.
I'm from it. That's where I grew up. It's like, I get it.
Yeah.
Visibility matters. Yeah. Bottom line. So it's so great that you're doing this completely, that you are being you and you are out and proud and showing it to the world.
Yeah. And that it's also like, I'm also out about the messiness of it. Because I feel like not everybody just comes out.
Mm-mm. Right.
And even if they come out easily, and then like I recently had two friends, she was gay and he was straight. And then she fell in love with him and then he got with her and then he came out as bi. I mean, so it was like everybody. And I was like, sometimes it's just not this clear straight line that you just come out and you're out and that's it. My journey was so emotional and up and down and in and out and all kinds of craziness. And I really feel like you can have a, we are lucky enough that you can have a little bit of a messy journey. I hope that people can to whatever it is that needs to happen in their life, because it comes.
I love that you're saying this, yeah, because it's super important what you're saying. Because we just did an Instagram, we asked a question on Instagram asking, when did you know you were LGBTQ? And so many people answered. Did you read these answers, yeah, Robin? Yeah. Some of these? I knew I was 4, but then I didn't come out till I was 14. And then I didn't really come out again until I was 27. And you're right. It's messy. And everybody needs to know that everybody went through. I mean, we all know we went through something to come out because it's not the norm and it's a scary thing to do. But that there are all these similar stories. You're not alone in how messy it was for you, right, and how varied it is for all of us. And I think it's really important. That's a good point. Agreed.
Well, and it's funny because my wife came out young at 13. My wife is also 18 years younger than me. So she got more. I know. Yay. It's crazy. She had more visibility. So she was like out with a mohawk at 13. You know what I mean? And I was like, had I known? And then it's so funny because we look at pictures of me as a young girl and I had this short hair and she was like, how did you not know with this
Everyone
fucking dyke
knew.
Ass haircut?
I think people say that to Robin a lot.
Well, I feel like also too in the Midwest, there are women that look like fucking dyke.
Thank you very much.
They're not.
My haircuts in upstate New York, I'm sorry, every single girl had those haircuts. Like, I can tell you the moment sitting in the chair where the woman was like, you know what we need to do? Let's just take this up over your ears, but we'll leave it long in the back and we can perm it. And I was like, yeah. I was like that. She was like, look how good this looks. Mm. And everyone had that haircut. Everybody did. That wasn't anything.
Yeah.
Now, me playing football, that's a different thing. But like, I'm just saying.
For me, so I remember the moment I realized that I wanted to look the way that I currently look, which is that I saw Annie Lennox in the Sweet Dreams video where she was in the safety orange buzz cut. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. She was in a man's suit. She was sitting on a fucking conference table with a riding crop.
Yes.
And I remember just a part of me just like woke up and was like, that's what I want. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, now I have orange hair and I wear men's suits all the fucking time. Like I like, oh my God, I love that so much. But I didn't know I could take action on that. And I remember I went to the beauty parlor or whatever. And I was like, I want a safety orange buzz cut. And I had brown hair to my waist. And they were like, you don't want that.
You look so pretty, honey. You look so pretty.
Hey, Robin, you know what?
What, Jamie?
Our listeners who listen to this podcast most likely have had a baby the gay way or are thinking of having a baby the gay way. Would you say I'm correct in that?
I would say you are correct on that.
I would too. And if that's true, you're going to need a little assistance to make that happen, which is why modern fertility is one of my favorite new things. Modern Fertility can help you get ready without having to book at least one of those doctor's appointments.
At least one, Jamie. I mean, possibly more. Because for many women, their fertility, it's just a big question mark. And that's why Modern Fertility was created. Modern Fertility is an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home. And it's just like a simple prick of the finger. And then you just mail in a prepaid label and you're going to get personalized results in 10 days, Jamie. It's faster than your COVID test, probably.
Yeah, exactly. But listen, also traditional testing, and we know this, with your doctor can cost over $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
But Modern Fertility, listen up, only costs $159 to get the same exact information. And guys, if you go to modernfertility.com/OCT, you're going to get $20 off your test.
Oh, and also you insurance nerds like myself, if you've got an HSA or an FSA, you can use those bucks on Modern Fertility.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh. And with Modern Fertility, you're also going to get insight into how many eggs you have, hormone levels, and any reproductive red flags. So the results just go in depth into what every hormone means. And you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse and they're going to review the results and the options and the next steps for you. How amazing is that?
It's really great. So if you want kids today or you maybe want them one day, you need information to make the decision that is best for you.
Mm-hmm. Right now, Modern Fertility, listen, you guys, you are going to get $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT. And that means your test will be $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office. That's a lot.
It is. Get $20, guys, off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
Modernfertility.com/OCT.
Modernfertility.com/OCT. But I think we should do every ad in that voice from now on. So let's talk a little bit about, you brought your new wife in. Your son was how old at the time?
So I think by the time her and I got together, he was about 4 or 5. So there was like a good 2 or 3 years where I was dating other women and what have you in between.
So he had time to get used to, mom has relationships with women, but it wasn't a big deal to him anyway. So that was easy. Then your wife comes into the picture and she stays. Now, what does that look like? What does your family look like at that point?
Well, I mean, we met and I didn't know her age. She's got an older face and I thought she was in her 30s and she thought I was in my 30s and she was 21 and I was 39. And in the beginning, I was like, you're gonna like, how could you even be someone that's available? Like, I was like, you're gonna be banging someone on the West Side. Like, you're a hot mess. You're a child. You know what I mean? Like, I was just totally like, but my wife has always wanted a family. Like, she is one of those people that has known that she wants to be married and have a child. I'm one of those people that, like, I wanted that, but it's never been like front burner. Like, I've always been super career oriented. And I was never one of those people like, can I hold your baby? Like, I've never been one, like, I don't want to babysit your kids. Like, I'm not the person that just wants to hang out with other people's children. I'm a very good mom, but I just assumed that it wasn't going to be anything real. And then she turned out to be the sanest, most stable, wonderful human I've ever met. And our age has never, not once, been an issue. It's never
amazing.
Even when I mention stuff, or if she doesn't know it's something, I'm like, do you know, like, there'll be references or something on TV. I'm like, do you know what they're talking about there? I don't make her feel bad about it. But she also, like, on our first date, we went to go see Harold and Maude, which is very hilarious.
I love that movie.
But she already knew what it was. Because I was like, we're going to go see Harold and Maude. Do you want to go see it? I was like, you probably don't know what that is. She was like, oh, no, I totally know what it is. So she's always been older in her life, also hanging out with older people. And I've always gravitated towards anything young and hip at any age, you know what I mean? So we just kind of meet in the middle and she's lovely and wonderful. I literally can't be more. The only fight we have is who lucked out more. And it's me. I mean, how she has to fucking deal with all my fucking baggage. You know what I mean?
Like, you're a good wife for saying that. I think we all have to say that.
Especially when the microphone is on.
Yeah. So obviously she came into the picture and was really great with Harrison.
Yes. And they still are great. And I think the reason why she just instinctively is great with children, and because she's younger, she understands his video games. They play video games together. And she's also a representation where it's like, she's like, I grew up playing video games. It didn't ruin me. Like, I'm not sitting in my mom's basement in a diaper. You know what I mean? Like, she's like, I am, you know, she makes great money. She's a chef at a restaurant. She is a well-adjusted person and she played video games growing up. So she can relate to him in a way and also be a great example that, like, hey, you can have this life that has, you know, video games and other things and whatever, and you can follow your passions and dreams. And she's just fantastic with him and always has been.
Great. So it seems like it was just like a seamless joining.
It was like, I think the universe was like, this chick needs a break. Yeah, it's been time. 10 years. Of getting fucked pretty bad. Why don't we throw her a bone? You know what I mean?
It sounds like you did a lot of personal work to get there is what it sounds like to me.
A lot.
Who gets to decide if you have a second? Like, how's that going to go?
Well, I mean, when we first got together, which was, you know, almost 10 years ago, I totally was like, I want more children. I absolutely want more children. But it was like, you know, a lot has happened since then. You know what I mean? It was like jobs and we had to move and, I mean, the collapse of things. You know what I mean? There's been so many challenges. And it's like, you know, when you're a straight person, the sperm is just flying around everywhere. Like, it's in the drapes. It's in your hair. It's on the carpeting. You know what I mean? Like, it's just everywhere. But when you have to be somebody that needs sperm, it's like, oh, do you have an extra $10,000 laying around? You know what I mean? And we had even gone down a road of like, because I have half brothers, asking one of my half brothers, and that went south and didn't work out. And then
why'd that go south?
It was one of those things where it's like I asked my brother and I said, look, you know, this is a very intense question. You can totally say no. He was totally on board and he was like, yes, yes, yes. And then he didn't return my call for 3 years. Like it was just.
Oh my God.
It was like one of those things where I was like, and I was like texting and Facebook message. I was like email. I was just totally like, literally, you don't have to do it.
You could have said no. You didn't have to ghost me, right?
Yeah. I feel like honesty really at the end of the day sometimes can be very challenging for people. Yeah. And I feel like standing in your truth. Yeah, exactly. Or letting someone down. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and I can't really speak for him and I don't exactly know what happened, but it was very hard on us. And, you know, it was also very hard on me to just like have this person just like not talk to me for fucking 3 years. He later apologized. We've even maybe thought of asking just a friend, you know what I mean? A gay guy. But then it's like, it's super heavy because we have asked some people and then it really trips out their brain knowing that there's going to be a child out there because we don't want them involved. Yep. You know, you can exist, but you're not. There's no weekends with you. There's no. It's not even like uncle.
It's not even like relationship.
Like, yeah, we want it to be our baby and that's the way it would be. But it's trippy to ask someone that, you know what I mean? And so we really do feel like we would probably have to go the way of a sperm bank or what have you. But then it's just totally like, well, you know, that money. And, you know, like I said, my wife got this really great job. It was just a year ago. And then it was like we went into the pandemic and we're just totally like, well, and money is like, we're actually doing well right now. I mean, not horribly. I mean, but it's like, is this going to run out? Like, I mean, you just like, is there ever a good time to do this? Not sure. Yeah. You know, and we're also thinking about moving back to New York when my son is 18, because I don't love LA. And I've had an apartment there since 1995. So I really want to move back to New York.
Oh, still here?
Yes. So I don't know. We're really just taking it one day at a time with the baby thing. It's just something that my wife really wants. And I would love to be there for her. And I also realized that I was like, oh, well, then I'll be the dad.
Is that a good thing?
Well, because I've been the mom to my son, which is like when you're the mom, you're the mom. You know what I mean? You answer all the questions. You send all the emails, all the doctor's appointments, all, you know. The files, you know, his you know, taxes and the vaccinations and like the mom handles it, right? Now I have a wonderful partner, my amazing wife, and my baby daddy doesn't completely suck at this, but doesn't handle any of that stuff. Looking at schools, going to schools, applying, essays, thing like filling out forms, everything with this, that is all fucking me, the mom.
Yeah, because you started out as the only sole mom.
Yeah, it's like your world is very heteronormative as a parent. And it's so funny because we talk so much about how in our relationships, there is no mom, there is no dad. There's all these, everybody roles are who does what and who does it best. And it's so interesting because your experience is over here and it might be completely different than what you expect because you two would be equal.
Yeah. So when you say you get to be the dad, you just mean that you're not going to be like sole mom, sole.
Right. Mother, well, everything. Part of me is just totally like, I don't know. She'd probably be handling a little bit more than I would.
Well, and by the way, let's be honest.
She'll probably want to.
Only if she wants to and you don't want to, because if you've been doing it and you're good at it and you want to do it, you'll still keep it.
Okay, so now I'm learning more because I'm just totally like, a part of me was like, because I was on the phone with, you know, with my really good friend who's also kind of like my mentor. And she was like, because I was trying to frame this in my mind because I was very challenged by this. I was like, God, what if like she doesn't get pregnant for like another 2 or 3 years? I'll be 53. Mm-hmm. Like a part of me was like, what the fuck? Yeah. What is that? Like, I'm done. I've landed the plane. I delivered my fully functioning human out into the world. Like, am I fucking fully walking up to pre-K again? Like, is that?
And the twos.
Yeah.
And I'm just totally.
Bottles,
well, here's the thing.
Diapers.
For me, I never had a problem with my kid. I didn't have the terrible twos. I didn't. It's really been a love-in the entire time.
You had a good one.
I really did. He's
knew better than that.
You
second
watch
one.
Out for that second
okay.
one.
Well, now what I'm hoping is it'll just be another first one because it's hers. You know what I mean? Like, so, but what I'm mostly afraid of is I just don't want to fucking deal with other parents. I fucking hate talking with other parents in the fucking playground. listening to their fucking bullshit ideas about whatever. Like, I don't,
I know.
I got no small talk for you, bitch. And I will put you in my comedy special is what I'll do. You and your fucking ideas. You know what I mean?
Yesterday, this mom dropped off a kid to visit my daughter. And we were literally like, all right, see you in an hour. And I looked out the window and she was just sitting at the museum across the street from my apartment. And I said to Mary, I said, are we like really awful people? I mean, it's like COVID, so I don't want her in my house. But I was like, let's be honest, even if it wasn't COVID, I don't want her here because I don't want to have to talk to her. And we kept looking out the window at her and I was like, I think we are bad people. And I was like, we're shut down. Like, we're not friendly.
Like, I would do anything to not have a play date. Yes, like, I don't ever want to be on another fucking play date. I like the kids. I like the kids. I like
drop the kids off, then go.
I'm just totally like, God, there's people are psychos. I really have a hard time.
But so this isn't your first rodeo. So you know that you're not going to get bamboozled into talking to a mom on the playground because you're already guards up. You're like, I'm going to stand over here.
Keep the AirPods and just be like, oh, I'm listening. I'm going to work call.
Yeah, I'm just like,
it was good to see you. So good to see you.
Yeah. So when I was talking with this friend and I was trying to frame this in my mind because I was struggling and my friend was like, but Melanie, men have been doing this since the dawn of time. You're just going to be the old dad. That's what you're going to be. I was like, yes, I'm the dad. And then I was like, great. I can fucking frame that in my mind. Like, I'm just like,
I can be absentee. I got this.
I totally, yes. But here's the thing. But because I could never be that, I would still be doing 1,000 times better than just the absentee dad.
Of course.
Literally, my mom was married 4 times by the time I was 10. You know what I mean? I've had like 800 dads and I've seen some fucking dads and dads are terrible. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry if there's any men listening. I just know that I, at my kids' Boy Scout troop, okay, I was a den mother, okay, because none of the dudes would fucking step up. They were always in the back on their fucking phones and I had to wear the outfit and the thing and coordinate and like, at a Boy Scouts,
show up.
They couldn't show up. I think maybe the queer dads who possibly listen to this podcast aren't those kind of dads.
No. Oh my, I would kill for a queer dad.
Yeah.
I would kill for a queer dad at Boy Scouts.
Basically, you're going to be a queer dad.
That's great.
You're going to be very involved, but you're just not going to the playground.
It's going to be a new journey that is going to give me plenty of material is what it's going to do.
I feel like we're going to need, once some decisions are made and some process is happening, we're going to need you on our live stream to come in and talk about where things are at. Perhaps
with your wife.
We're bringing the wife. By the way. Yes.
She won't say a word.
That's great.
She's so quiet. I mean, she's just the perfect person for me because I'm like, in the room, there is no room for anybody else but me and this stupid fucking haircut. You know, like, it's just.
It's not stupid.
Amazing.
Not stupid at all. And also, I want to say, and you know this already, but it's never the right time.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, I know that. But there is the part of me where I'm just totally like, God, is it so fucking irresponsible? I mean, things feel pretty extra.
Yes, true.
Like,
true.
And you're just totally like, I don't know, is a second wave coming? And then will she go back to work? And then I take care of the, like, what?
Yeah.
How's that going to work?
Right.
And then I have my own business and comedy. Do we then have a person? Like, I'm just totally like, I don't know how it's, and I've always been somebody that was very hands-on with my son and didn't want somebody else there constantly, you know, with my child. So I really feel like that I would love to keep that going, right? But if we're both working, I don't know how that's all going to happen.
But again, like Jamie said, you know, you'll figure it out. You've done this. You figured all that shit out before. You'll figure it out again.
God, so exhausting.
It is.
It is exhausting.
But it's more exhausting to be in that space where you don't know. I think that's more exhausting than actually making a decision and going forward in some ways.
Yeah.
But I will say, as a mom in her 40s of a 2-year-old, it's fucking exhausting.
Oh my God, so
tired.
Once
that baby comes.
I go to bed so early.
Yeah. I mean, I'm tired now. I mean, I have this arm brace on because I'm falling apart. Like, this is not time for more. You know what I mean? Like, this is...
I have so many arm braces. Robin makes fun of me.
Oh my God, hilarious.
Melanie, I just want to say it was so wonderful. And I love that you came and told us your story. And like, this was incredible.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're awesome.
I can't wait to hear it all turns out. But you're a publicist, and so you know you have to tell everybody everything about where they can get you and find you and all that business.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, MelanieVesey.com is always, you know, I have a weekly comedy show called the Antidepressant Comedy Hour because it's free, like your meds. You know what I mean? Like, you need serotonin, and I'm your dealer. And so that's every Sunday night. I have a comedy special on Amazon. I'm also on Amazon for Laugh After Dark. So all that stuff's at MelanieVesey.com.
What's the comedy special called on Amazon?
Wild Animal.
Oh, okay.
Your next hair color.
Yeah. And then my company, Promotional Rescue. Like I said, I teach people how to promote without feeling gross.
Thank you so much for coming. We had the best time.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, you guys.
Oh my God, I'm dying to know if she has another kid.
I wonder how that dad thing's going to work out for her too.
She's
going to end up taking over everything.
Oh yeah. That dad thing is not, that's not, she's doing it all. She does not strike me as someone who cannot do stuff. But I'm like so torn over, and like any other listeners who've gone through this, you need to hit us on the social media, but like to have an older kid and then go back to bottles and being woken up at night. Like, I don't know that I could do that.
Oh, my God. One of my closest friends, she was a grandma, and then she had a baby.
Oh, no.
And she's having another one. So, Jennifer, hit us up. Tell us how it's going.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you're wiser and older, and you take it easier, but I don't think I would be able to. I would just be like, I'm tired.
I don't know. I can't even imagine going back, and I'm still potty training.
Oh, God.
Still.
Okay, folks. Our book is out now, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family. It's available at all major retailers. And Jamie and I keep talking about this new thing we learned about, is that if you buy it on Amazon, the Kindle form, for just like another $5 or so, you get the audiobook version. And then you can like seamlessly go back and forth between print and audiobook, which I think is really cool.
Toggle. Yeah. One of my favorite words. You can toggle.
Vacillate.
That's not one of my favorite words. I'm going to name my dog Toggle.
Toggle this. And don't when you're done toggling, don't be afraid to rate and review the book on Amazon or Goodreads or on Google. Any of those reviews really, really help us. So we would appreciate that.
Yes, please. Thank you so much. And you know what? Let's keep this conversation going, as we like to say, as the kids say. Join us on the social today say. Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube, where you're going to see all the recordings of our live streams that we do every Thursday at 4 p.m. on Facebook. So if you're actually free at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, head to our Facebook page and you can see us be just like idiots. We are right now, idiots.
I love it because you can come in and you can ask us questions and it's live. It's more interactive, which we love.
So we can talk to you, and that's really fun. And then we get to know you, and it becomes a party. And then sometimes we even bring guests in, and that's always
and
fun.
And cocktails.
And sometimes what? Cocktails. Depending on how the day has gone. Anyway,
which is generally speaking.
And then you can also support the podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. That's where you're going to get your bonus content, as if Facebook Lives are not bonus enough.
I know. And one more big shout out to Generate Life Sciences for joining us and coming on board as an advertiser. And like we said, you're going to hear from them for the next few weeks. So it's exciting. And thank
really
you to
cool.
all of our patrons. Thank you again to Kim Bay and Laura Mayerly. We really appreciate you guys.
Bye.
And all the rest of our patrons.
And I think we've rambled enough.
Oh my
People
God,
need to get
have.
Back to their days. I hope you enjoyed this time. Now it's time. I keep going back to that. Anyway,
Do it.
To say goodbye.
Eggs.
To all our LGBT
ovaries.
Friends.
Out.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans.
Goodbye, gays.
LGBTQ.
LMNOP.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, X ovaries out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.